to listen, love you, receive your word, give thanks to your precious holy name. We ask that your spirit will breathe upon your word in Jesus' name. We ask that you teach us tonight. We are listening. We want to know. We want to do better. Particularly, we want to follow our master, understand his ways and purposes, and have his mind, his kind of mind. Help us today so that we can really get better in our Christian life in Jesus' name. We pray for our city to be at peace and our state, nation to be at peace. Pray for all those who are rulers and authority over our lives. We ask for wisdom and strength for them so we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray that men and women will get saved, come to knowledge in our land in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tell somebody beside you, welcome to church. All right. Let's get into the word of God. Let me start with something just for us who are here, who came early. Let's do some tidbit first of all. Let's do this. What to do when things get difficult? When, you know, just get difficult. It can be relationally, it can be in resources, it can be whatever. Just naughty and difficult. Let me start like this on this road. Pastor Henry, you're welcome. Nice to have you. When things are difficult, pardon me, can you help me put it on the screen? What to do when things are difficult? Something's not coming through, or somebody's giving you a hell of time, or you need something you are not having. What do you do? The very first way, which is easy, is to ask yourself this first question. Has anyone gone through what I'm going through in the Bible? That's the first question you should ask yourself. You see, has anyone going through what I'm going through in the Bible? Knowing that will give you two kinds of benefit. Number one, it'll give you comfort. Number two, it'll give you companionship. You know what I just said? If you are in jail because you preach the gospel, remember Paul and Silas. That will give you comfort that you are not alone. And that will give you companionship that you are in the company of Paul, not in the company of the devil and all demons. So number one, if anything happens to you that's getting difficult, ask yourself this question. Has anyone gone through this in the Bible? Somebody said, I don't know Bible enough. Today is so wonderful. We have our phone. Just type into search and see whatever you are passing through in the Bible. And Google will Google it with, along with AI. They do something for you. If they can't help you, I'll tell you what to do next. Now, sometimes you go through things that are not in the Bible, that you cannot specifically even pick in the Bible. So number one, when things get difficult, ask yourself this question. Has anybody or did anybody go through this in the Bible? Single parent, married, children, daughters, sons, whatever. Just ask yourself, has anyone gone through this in the Bible? Sometimes it may take you some search. Just search. Bible says, you know, many of us believe this. Ask, it shall be given unto you. But that's just one step of prayer. Jesus says something else. Seek and you will find. Are you here? So sometimes, some things you have to seek. You have to seek. You have to seek and find it. That's the first one. So you go by the way of the word of God, the scriptures. Has anybody gone through what I'm going through? And then you look at that situation. Now, if you don't find anything like that, the next thing you can do, which is actually part of everything to do, is to begin to pray. Hallelujah. And to pray in different ways. How do you pray? When things get difficult. Let me first of all give you this. You know, if you have been praying well, if you have been praying clearly and correctly, it won't get to that point where it's too difficult. Are you listening, everybody here? Did you hear what I just said? Say that one more time. Have you ever been going somewhere? You are moving, indeed, but your speed is not enough to get there on time. Yeah, you're on the right way, but you're not getting there on time. So sometimes when things are difficult and you can't find any kind of person in the Bible, the next thing to do is to do Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Take a look. Likewise, the Spirit also helps. Who? Who does he help? Helps us in our weaknesses. Now take a look. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Take a look at that verse. Well, let me help me. Can you make that word "as we ought" in capital? I know you can do that for me. Thank you very much. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for. You see, I know what to pray for. Maybe it's a financial difficulty. I know what to pray for. Maybe it's a relational difficulty. I know what to pray for. My husband is troubling me. My wife is troubling me. My boss is troubling me. I know what to pray for. But I may not be praying as I ought to pray. You see, this is where some of us miss it. We think, just because I'm praying. No. Just to think that prayer is just prayer, it's not the answer. You know, that's where you are really feeling sad. I think God is not listening to you. That's not true. There are different kinds of prayers. And you see, just like football, you can't be handling ball when you are playing football. It's called foul. But when you are doing handball and you are using your feet, it's called foul. It's the same game. It's a kind of a game, but there are different rules there. You know, I don't like this idea. Someone just kind of give you prayer requests or prayer point and start praying. It's not true. It doesn't work that way. There are different kinds of prayer. And because you just don't know, it's just more than just Oluwa, Oluwa, Baba, Bulewa. You know, that won't get anywhere. We'll see that in a minute. So number one, when you don't know, give us that again. What to do when things are difficult in your life. Number one, find out what the Word of God said. You can't find the Word of God, maybe your mind is clogged, that kind of thing. Second, begin to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. Start praying with the help. Give us Romans 8:26 again. Thank you. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Don't say, stop becoming kindergartish. I've been praying, God's not answering. That's a stupid way of saying it. Don't say that. It's like you are saying, I'm breathing, but air is not entering in. Don't say that. Don't put God in the class of the one who doesn't know or who's not offering help. Put yourself in the place where you are not getting it. Does that make that difference? Then you'll be able to look for more. You know, let me give you an example. If you are looking for your key in the house, you don't say this. I wonder why this key is not allowing me to find it. Do you say that? Do you ever say that? Oh, this key is just difficult. No. What do? I have not found the key yet. Is that all right? Let your spiritual life be like that. God is absolute. It doesn't change. So it's me that have to change and blend. Does that make some sense? So start praying with the help that's ought to. You have to pray. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us. Let me tell you how I do this. If I have something bugging me and I don't get an answer, I just pray in tongues. I don't pray anymore in English. I just pray in tongues. Walk up and down. Just pray in tongues. I just pray. Now, at the beginning, it's not easy for me. But I just pray in tongues, lying on the bed, pray in tongues, pouring out my heart. The best way to pour out your heart is praying in tongues. Because Your head and your heart are different. The inward man is inside your spirit. So pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Once in a while, I'm confused about the service. What should I do in the service? Pastor, that's difficult. Am I right? I mean, can you just imagine I'm coming for service? I don't know what to do. That's dangerous. You may not know what to do. I must know what I'm supposed to do here. That's how some of the churches, they have problems. You know, you go to service, you don't know what to do. You just do things and people just don't receive anything from God. That's a serious problem for me. So what do? I just pray in tongues. Or something happened financially, or something happened to me emotionally, something happened to me family-wise, my kids or something. I just pray in tongues. I don't pray in English because my English is not getting anywhere to start with. Get up. Just pray. Pastor, why do you have to pray? I have to construct the answer. You see, you never move into a house that is not constructed well.
Pastor, I just pray.
No, when you are praying in tongues, you are building something. You see, you don't have it before. I was building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying. You see, that thing you are looking for is like a house. But if it's not existing, you can't go there. So you build that up spiritually. Let's go and see that. Jude 20. Take a look at Jude 20. Jude 20. I'm talking about just sharing this for coming early first. Jude, verse 20. Take a look. All right, quickly. Jude, the last, second to the last book in the Bible. Verse 20. Okay, I hope the computer will respond. That computer needs to be changed. I think so. Yeah. Beloved, do what? Building yourself up. That means you're going to have to build yourself up to the answer on your most holy faith. You see, your faith is capable, competent to handle this matter. But you have to build yourself up on it. He said, how do you do that? Praying. How? Praying where? In the Holy Spirit. Paul said, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. Oh, I do this for almost everything. Because that's my real native language, praying in tongues. So I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray. I love this. I pray, pray, get on the bed, and pray, and pray, and pray, and sleep, and pray, and wake up, and pray, and sleep, and pray, and pray, and pray. I just keep praying. I say, Pastor, you know, I don't pray like a lot of people pray. I don't do organized praying. Let me explain that. I don't do prayer like... I have prayer timetable, but I don't do, this is what I have to pray. When I have a serious something, I pray. I just pray. I won't say, I please pray. No, I don't finish praying. I just pray. Come back. I go eat. Come back. Pray. For instance, if your car is sick, what do you do? You don't say, I only service my car at the end of the month. No, you take that car to the fix so you can put it back on the road. Am I right? So it's the same way. Just pray. Don't call anybody in town. Just pray. Even if somebody is going to help you, if you don't construct it in prayer, they may not help you well. That's how some of you miss it. You think, I can just call somebody. They may not be in the right motive, right mood, right capacity to help you if you don't pray it up. Are you hearing me? You know, if you are asking me for help, something must move me first before I help you. And Pastor, he has the money now. No, that won't. Or he has the help now. No, that won't move me. How many of you, I'm going to catch you now. How many of you, you go in town, you have money in your pocket. That man says, I beg. Do you give me money? Do you give me money this week? You have money, don't you? I'm not on your case. Relax. But sometimes, don't just kind of move you. Am I right? And you give beyond even 5 naira, right? You just, you know, you just give that 100 naira. You got to be like, You know, you're surprised. So just pray in the spirit. Just pray in the spirit. Now, while you are praying in the spirit, what do you do next? Look at next verse. Looking. Keep yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our God and Savior. Keeping. Looking. So when you are praying in tongues over the matter, keep yourself in the love of God and keep looking for his mercy. I don't know how to explain this. As I'm praying in tongues, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for the mercy of God. God will show me mercy. God will help me. Amen. Are you here? I'll get an answer. Let me talk about praying tongues over this matter before I close. Take a look at Isaiah 28. This will help you. Maybe this will help you. Some of you pray. Praying in tongues and praying in your language are two different things. You see, praying in your language is to address the issue as far as your mind is concerned, which is limited. But praying in the spirit is to enter into the process itself. Okay, let me give an example. I'm praying for food stuff. I'm praying for food stuff. Father, I need food stuff in the name of Jesus. Thank you. That's praying in my language. But if I'm praying in tongues, I don't pray that. I pray like this. Lord, the food stuff I need is not garri, it's rice. And that rice is available this place. And that person needs to get that rice across. See, you pray the process. Now, if you just pray in tongues for a few minutes, or just pray and keep quiet, you are not going to process it through. Does that make some sense? Does that make some sense? A lot of time, Christians don't see the blessing of God because they pray and not pray through in tongues. I don't mean like this, Baba, 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 Baba. That's not praying process. That's just blab. You hear me? Okay. Let me give another example. Maybe it'll help you. You see, that's a kindergarten praying. That is an adult praying. Let me give you. You know, I have Mrs. Kosoko there. I have my daughter over there. When she was very small, baby, she just said, Mommy, food. Mommy will just get up, acting on her word, go make food for her and come. But now, that doesn't happen anymore. They discuss the food. Am I right, ma'am? Okay, I'm here. Okay, rice, you know, no rice in the tongue, the other one. See that process? They discuss that now, they work it out. Some of you, you just want to stay in the baby's prayer where mommy rise. Just imagine, Anola at this age now, stand over there, mommy rise. The mommy say, cook now, mommy rise. What would she say? Anola say, you know, you get what I'm saying? Are you here? So there's a place of growth in prayer where you get into God and you work it out together and pray it out. Amen, somebody. You pray out the money. You pray out the sickness. You pray out the stuff. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Are we here? Am I making some sense? So just pray. Just pray. Just pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Just pray. Now, Isaiah 28. Let me show you. My time is up. I need to shut up and close. Isaiah 28. We'll go to our subject today. Isaiah 28. We're talking about praying in tongues. Take a look. This will help you. Are we there? Praying in tongues is praying the process. Praying in English, praying the product. Father, I want water. But when I'm praying in tongues, I talk about where to get the water. I talk about how the water will arrive. I talk about how the water will not be used and be made useless. Look at verse 9, Isaiah 28. Whom will he teach? Oh, see, look at you, look at praying. Whom will he teach knowledge? Can I make you laugh? No, make you laugh. Can I make you think? See, people think they're just praying. For instance, you know, October is coming up. People are praying all over Nigeria. They're praying for Nigeria. They're praying for Nigeria. And things are not changing for all these years. So they don't think that something is going on here that we're not praying well. Don't bother to think about it. I mean, if you have a spanner and you are trying to remove a knot and you keep turning and you keep turning and you keep turning and the knot is not coming out, you should change it. I mean, common sense, little brain, the mother, you go, after 3 hours, I see turning. You know? He said, whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, remember, I just talked about Ms. Makuzoko and her daughter. And those drawn from the breast. Next verse. For precept, talking about praying now, praying in tongues. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon a line. Line upon a line. Here, you are constructing it in praying. You have taken this and taken that and taken that and taken that. You are building up in the spirit. Look at next verse. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. See, he's talking about tongues there. You don't have everything clear. You see, look at this flower vase over here. Those who made this flower vase, they made the vase, they didn't make the flower. Those who made the flower didn't make this one. It is us that bought them and put them together like this so they can look beautiful today. Hello? Are we here? But if we didn't put them together, we can get only the flower vase over here and it's not complete. Praying in tongues is line upon line upon line. Put this, and you have the flower vase. I'm talking about your personal life. When things, give us the topic again. When, what to do when things are difficult? Or when things get difficult? What do you do? What do you do? You just pray. 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 Now, let me give you practical answer to close with. Now, when you just pray, and then you pray, and 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 you check your Bible, what last thing do you do? Do you do? Psalm 4, verse 4. I close with that one. Praise God. Psalm 4, verse 4. I close. Be angry and don't sin. Meditate within your heart or in your bed and be still. Okay, now take a look at that verse. Very interesting verse. So, after you pray in tongues, get angry. Not at God, at that situation. Get angry at that thing. Don't sin. Don't talk to God, blah, 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 like Job did. Instead of blaming God, blame that thing. You are not going to stay here. I don't want you in my life. Don't say, God, why now? Stop. That's kindergarten. No, you are not right. You are not supposed to be here. Say, I'm all alone on it. I'm all alone. Call. Attack it. Don't attack God. And then meditate within your heart on your bed. You see, you've been praying in tongues. You've been praying in tongues. Your heart has been praying. Then your heart wants to instruct you now. This morning I read this verse to my wife from the Bible called Message Bible. It was very interesting. Let's read it. Message Bible. 4 verse 4. Complain if you must, but don't lash out at God. Let's put that over there. See that verse? Complain. Man, complain against that thing, but don't lash out at God. Why is it going on like this? Why are you leaving me like this? You're going to get deeper in the hole. Are you hearing me? Pastor, what do you mean? You see, when a car is inside mud area and starts spinning, what happened to it? Well, you've never been there before. It goes deeper into the mud. So when it starts spinning against God like that, you're going to have some trouble. All right, let's go next. It says, keep your mouth shut. What's it? Keep your mouth shut. And let your heart do the talking. Hallelujah. Keep your mouth shut. Stop talking. Let your heart do the talking. Praying in tongues. And let your heart talk to you on the bed. Clamacilin, like, what do I do with this? Makathara, you pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And after a while, some thoughts will come to you from your heart. And this usually happens in the night. Psalm 16, take a look. Psalm 16, verse 9. Talking about lying on your bed. He said, lay upon your bed, on your bed. No. Look at Psalm 16, verse 9. Round up, practical. Okay, next verse. Okay, give us verse 8. Sorry, give us verse 8. Verse 7. This is it. Take a look. I will bless the Lord who has given me what? Counsel. My heart, take a look. My heart, what does he do? Instruct me in the night when? So usually when you pray in tongues, 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 and then you lie on your bed at night, your heart will instruct you. Usually you start having some ideas coming from there, or some thoughts coming to you, or you can even dream about it. Are you hearing me? Or you just hear a set of words. Like one brother, he's supposed not to buy something, but he bought it. I didn't have the money. So, what are you going to do? Start praying in tongues. It's already in the financial hole. So we pray in tongues, 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 pray in tongues. Then he had these words. Go to Brother Lagbaja. Brother, come on, Brother Lagbaja. Now, for your information, Brother Lagbaja is one of the poorest brothers in town. Now, isn't that so stupid? You are in a financial problem and you're hearing Brother Lagbaja. No, it cannot be. He just said, so words. So, but this man is a man who has understood God. So he got up, he said, Brother Lagbaja, I came to see you. He's the poorest brother in town. You know, he's poor. You know, so Brother Lagbaja, I came to see you. I'm having some problem. He said, hey, close early. He said, you know what? Something I should not have bought, but I bought it and I'm in trouble and I don't have the money. But I just been praying and it just came to my mind. Brother Lagbaja said, you came home. You know what? They gave me some money I don't need. This money is with me. I don't need it. It's trouble for me. Can you take it and use it for what it is? Don't be me. It's just to, see, a lot of time. Don't develop a crutch in life. See, crutch is something you use to help yourself when you cannot move very well. So you use a crutch. I'm not attacking anybody who is disabled. Don't get me wrong. But don't develop a crutch in your life. A crutch is relying on something or someone else anytime you're in any hole without relying on God. When you start relying on something or someone else, God will do two things. He will make what you are going through too worse that this crutch won't help you, or he will break the crutch. And both of them are not comfortable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Do we get that? Okay, let's shut it down. When things are difficult, that's just bonanza for coming early. Let's get to our subject. Christ, Jesus at work. Jesus at work. We are looking at Jesus in action. We study Jesus' words, but we want to follow him. We want to watch him in action. Because, you see, when you grow up in a house, you watch your parents in action more than what they say. Am I right? If your daddy is smoking, I say, boy, don't smoke. You know, go around. So we need to look at Jesus. It can be fascinating. I learned a lot of things about Jesus from just watching him than just reading. You see, what he said, there are a few things he said. Let me give you a bombshell about something that I saw about Jesus that just kind of amazing. Let's go to Luke 10. Take a look at this verse. Just take a look at this verse and look closely inside. Verse 1. Luke 10, verse 1. Please, follow. Look at this verse. Look at this verse. It looks so innocent, but it's heavy. Jesus in action. A CEO, a manager par excellence. Take a look. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. How many of them? And sent them 2 by 2. That's how many pairs? 30. What? 70 divided by 2. What's that? Okay, you don't remember? Calculator, calculate it. 35 pairs before his face into every city and place where himself was about to go. You know, on that surface, you just read that verse like that. From that verse, it looked like this. Jesus had prepared to go to 35 cities. He had made plans for 35 cities. Got them on paper, their name, everything. As a manager, as a CEO, not just looking at the present and get carried away. See, that's Jesus in action. Jesus is the first, oh, praise the Lord. Jesus said, unto others, and they are anointed, they are sent for. But take a look at it. He said, he sent them before his face. It's like market tests, market analysis. Send them forth. As a manager, it's planned for 35 cities. So many of us can just get up in the morning and say, Sunday, Samaria. And then by the afternoon, glory, hallelujah. Let's go to what Galilee. Ah, Hallelujah. 35 cities. He had planned for 35 cities and he sent 35 pairs of men to go ahead of him. Do you plan like that? Like saying that, like, I've planned for your money since December. We just spent some. You know, that's the work. Everybody's quiet. You see that, that easily? Look at this verse. And then he said to them, the harvest really is great. The brothers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out. See, he sent them out as a prayer ambassadors. Go pray the place up. So Jesus had 35 cities planned and started praying for them. He sent these guys to go and pray. He sent them to go down there and pray down there before he get there. Isn't that interesting? Wow. Pastor, I wonder why my plans don't come to pass. I really plan, no, it doesn't work because you don't pray for that ahead of time. Hallelujah. Okay, so that's just a tip of the iceberg. Let's go down to Jesus at work. How is he running his life? What does he do? Jesus had one beautiful help I want to share with you, help you today. Let's go to Matthew. We are Matthew 3, right? That's where we began. Matthew 3, verse 20. That's where we began last time. Matthew 3, verse 20. From according to Matthew, we are looking at Jesus in action. What did he do? Matthew 3, verse 20. Thank you. All right. Let's wait. They will find it. I didn't hear you. It cannot go to 20. Oh, that's not 20. Okay, maybe verse 13 I want to call. Verse 13. Let's. I want to see before this happened, what happened. Sorry, it's microphone problem. Yes, all right. Okay, then Jesus came from Galilee to. This is the first action by Jesus himself. In Matthew 1, he was born. In Matthew 2, he was carried to Egypt and carried back. And he went to go and stay in Nathanael. So Jesus was carried around by people. They were taking care of him. They were doing things on him. But according to Matthew, this is Jesus' first action as a person. It's the first action. What did he do first? He came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Can you imagine? According to John, Jesus' very first action is baptism. Interesting. Wow. So we should follow him. Look at this verse. And then John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? Now Jesus now gave us the reason for the baptism. So Jesus, every of his action, please listen to me. Can I help you? This is where Pentecostals miss it. You see, usually people say this, the Holy Spirit made me do it, or the Holy Spirit said I should do that. The Holy Spirit told me that Peter Obi will be the president. The Holy Spirit told me that I'll be rich by the end of the month. Now, see, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the way it works. He has a reason for what he does. It's the spirit of truth, not necromancy, not magical spirit. It's a spirit with a reason. That's it. Bible says, God has not given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That's a sound. Oh, look, this whole universe was spawned into existence by the Spirit. Are you hearing me? Now, the greatest equivalent in the natural universe to the Holy Spirit is energy. What did I say? Power, energy. And if you notice energy, it's well constructed. Energy works accordingly. See, all these things, you see energy. And energy must be utilized, used well, and applied and conserved. Am I correct? Now, you just don't look at You will not believe this. I know you won't believe this. Your phone battery is Holy Ghost in operation. Pastor, no. It's for tongues in church. No. See, the whole world you see around you is the power of the Spirit at work. The chair you are sitting on came out of him. Holy Ghost is not a Christian. It's not a Christian. You are the Christian. It's the one, all the things you see, everything, life, motion around you, that's the Holy Spirit in motion. Two things we cannot explain in science. We can't explain energy, and we can't explain consciousness. Rock doesn't have consciousness. Human beings do. Rat has some level. Ant has some level of consciousness. That consciousness, that life, that energy is Spirit of God in action. The battery in your phone is Spirit of God in action. It's his energy. That will help you. The fabric on yourself is his design. Why is flower looking red, another one looking yellow? It's his design. Don't see your God as just one small Christian God. He's the God of the universe. Let's clap our hands for him. Amen. And so it's important to see that there is a reason. For instance, remember Isaac Newton, a young professor in his 20s, was a Christian, sitting under the tree. If an apple or something fell down, and he said, why did he fall down? There must be a sound mind behind that thing. It's called law of gravitation. Am I right? Because there's a force of gravitation. That force is the Spirit of God in action. And it's explainable because God has a sound mind. Praise God, somebody. You see, we Africans take the power and leave out the mind. But when you have power without a mind, it's phone without a control, or it's a fan without a control. Praise God. What am I saying to get to that? Jesus got up to be baptized, and then John said, no, don't baptize me. Jesus gave a sound reason for doing that. Look at next verse. And he said, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting. See that word? It is fitting. It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. That's something about being fit and being right about life. Are you hearing me? You see, sometimes you can be a wife. You're right, but you don't fit. A lot of time, we have disagreement we can't explain because we know this is not fitting. Am I right? You know what I'm talking about? We know it's not fitting for a young child to talk back at his father. We don't have a chapter and verse, am I right? But we know it's not fitting. Something rebels in us against it. So Jesus, right and fitting, he considered it to be baptized. And why baptism first? Remember we said last week? Because Jesus is coming as a type, an example for all of us. And all of us that will continue as a Christian to live a life of the Spirit, our first point of call for action is baptism. Come and see. Acts 2, 37. When Peter was addressing people that will come to live the Christian life first of all. Now, when they heard this, the crowd, they were caught to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? See, I was talking about the first action of Jesus. These people were coming to Christ for the first time. They were asking, what shall we do? Are we here? Jesus came to live his life as an example for all of us. And the very first step he took was to go for baptism. Look at next verse. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Same thing that happened to Jesus came out, his first action, not to go to somewhere to go and pray or go and preach or anything. He headed toward baptism, water, John, River Jordan. When he got down there, John said, don't. He said, please do, because I'm a type, I'm an example. I'm a preacher of those who are yet to come to live like me. And so he submitted himself into the water. And the Bible said, John 3, 14. Now let's go back there now. John 3, 13, 14. We read verse 14. Sorry. Matthew 3, we are reading before. Verse 13, verse 14. Okay, now look at verse 15 now. Now what happened next now? And Bible said, verse 15. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. You see, Jesus went baptism in water. As he came out, he received the Holy Spirit upon him. Let's go back to Acts 2:38, saying the same thing. We're learning from his action. So Jesus' foundational action, his first two steps, Jesus' first two steps was baptism in water and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. His first two steps. And that step he took throughout his life. Look at it. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you, he said, permit it to be so. Remember? Permit it to be so now, for it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Then he said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, just like he received. Praise God, somebody. Are we here, everybody? Are we here, everybody? So, I was saying this to you, that Jesus' first action is baptism in water. And we never, you see, baptism is the foundational power. Now, don't say water baptism. I just mean water. Baptism is the foundational power for a Christian. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Listen. Are we here? Now, see, Jesus, when he came to baptism, wait, are you here, everybody? Are you here, everybody? When Jesus went toward that river, people were getting baptized there for their sin. So that water was full of sin. Let's imagine that, all right? Every kind of notorious gangsters baptized there. Hello? All kinds of sweat been washed in that water. Jesus was pure, holy, blameless of God. And Jesus stepped into that dirty water of sinners. He identified with us. He became one with us. So that in our own baptism, we identify with him. That makes some sense? You see, Jesus, with all his power, identified with our weakness. And we get baptized with all our weaknesses, we identify with him in his power. Praise God, somebody. Together, baptism is identification. Baptism is identifying you, is welcoming you into this association. They do it in my village. When you get married, before you enter the house, they cover your face like that. Yawotiwoli. Then they wash your feet at the entrance. All you guys don't wash anything. You know. You just get that. You know, they wash your feet. That means they baptize you into that family. You become part of them. They wash away your old life. You are now no longer that wonderful girl. You are now married. Yawoli. So baptism, Jesus, when baptized, he identified with humanity. But when we got baptized, we identify with divinity. Praise God. Are we here? Am I making some sense? Let's dig into this. See, we have to emphasize, this is the foundational truth we have to understand first. Baptism is just more than putting you inside water and bring you out. Let's go to 1 Peter 3. Hallelujah. Then we'll see the meaning of it in minutes. 1 Peter 3. Are we there? Okay, chapter 4. Sorry. Not, is it chapter 4? Okay, I think it's 3. Let's look at it. Yeah, it's 3. Come on. He was talking about the time of Noah's flood. Look at verse 19. I read this. I won't go through this one this week again. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. Remember Noah? Noah and flood. While please look at this. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. Are we here? Were saved. Now, the same water that drowned them. Now, you know, I know what you are thinking now. Stop thinking like that. Baptism, I have certificate. I was baptized, I have certificate. I don't have a certificate now. Be with me. He said, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water that drowned others. They were saved, they were cut out, they were snatched through water. Look at next verse. And there is also an antitype or a reality which now saves us. Are we here? Which now what? Saves us. Delivers us. How? Baptism. Now, not just put you inside water. That's what I say. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh. Not just putting you inside water. But something actually, okay, let me make it easier for you. You know, listen. When you go to altar to get married, it's not just the ring and the wedding gown. Tunde, am I right? It's not just the wedding ring and the choir and the pastor. And it's not that. Something are taking place in your heart when you are coming forward. Am I right? That's what matters. You can go to your altar and say, I do. And nothing's taking place. That happens now. All this marriage before you go abroad. I beg you. Maybe so. You just say, I marry him. We are together. And we are one. Like one man told me, he said, this lady wants to go abroad and I have American visa or something, American something. And I said, they can go with me. So together, she wanted to go, she couldn't go. So we went to embassy and then we married. I said, what happened next? He said, we now parted when we go to UK. I said, eh. That's baptism, just getting wet. Getting nowhere. Now, see, when you come for that wedding ceremony, something's happening. You, in your heart, people can sit down there and be laughing with you and rejoicing and say amen. But you know, something is taking place. You, that guy, and this girl, you have already planned to be together. And that just, you are speaking out your pledge. You are speaking out your promise. And when you do that, you march out together. Am I right? As husband and wife, just more than the wedding. Just more than the reception. They even drain your salary and drain your money. But you got something out of it. Which is more than just the ceremony. I'm making some sense. Hey, pastor, let's do without ceremony. Let's just marry in our bedroom. That's fine. When trouble comes, you leave me in your bedroom and go somewhere else too. So what do we do? So we want to do, let's have witnesses, let's have God, let's have people, let's have family so we can all can sit together, right? Baptism is like that. Baptism, you don't marry yourself. Somebody put you inside water. Christians are watching. You say, I'm a child of God. I follow Christ. That's what matters. Not just baptism, which we do, but plus confirmation and going to hell after. I don't mean that. There's no power in baptism. Look here. There's no power in wedding to make a marriage. You can act married. They don't act marriage. Are they married? No. So is that pledge? Look at it. It said, but the answer of a good conscience, can we have it in NIV? Let's see, an Amplified Bible. We make it really powerful. Let's go. And this was baptism. And this water symbolizes baptism, that water of Noah, that now saves you also. Not the remover of death from the body, like when you get inside water, but the pledge, glory, of a good conscience toward God, that I embrace your son, I embrace the truth, I welcome Jesus, I believe in him, and I go to the water, and I get baptized, and I say, Jesus, I'm for you. You got that? That's the pledge. Certificates may be given to you, I may not be given to you. Let me surprise you. In fact, in the olden days, when you get saved, not like now that we are individuals, in the olden days when you get saved, your whole family as a man get baptized in water. You don't believe me? You see, it's the Western world that has made all of us rank individuals. Just individuals. In the Bible time, there's no individuals. When they say the head of the house, the head of the wife is the man, it does not mean that the man now the gaba And now he's now in charge. I run it. See, let me give you an example of this. When they make you a principal of a school, that comes the head of the school. That means that the school's welfare, the school's progress is all on your head now. Am I right? They may even excuse you from teaching the classes. And sometimes there's no teacher, you can go and teach the class. You have to see that the school runs well. When they call your name, it's the school they are calling. That means you are really irrelevant. Only the school matters now. When something happens, they don't call the teacher, they call you. Something happens from the government, they call you. That's what the head of the house is. It's not the person who eats the tiger or the chicken. You know what I'm saying? It's the one that when there's no tiger to eat, and nobody, everybody has eaten. Do you know that I was told that in U.S. Army, I was shocked in U.S. Army. Yeah, remember that guy told us? He said, in U.S. Army, when you go to cafeteria, all the recruits and the juniors will eat first. And the generals will eat last. Nigeria. I mean, I was shocked when I heard that. I was shocked. He said, when you go to cafeteria, all the recruits, all the juniors will eat first. That's what we call the head. Are you hearing me? I'm the senior pastor. When something, I'm running, checking things to see that you everything go well. It's not for you to just go kind of. You see, today we think that being the head means that you are giving all the perks. Ah, no. How did I get to that? How did we get to that? Baptism. How did we get to that baptism to head? Thank you. All right. Are we here? God can help us. See, but the pledge, okay, you're talking about marriage, uncle, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God, it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the Amplified Bible. Baptism means that I identify and I pledge, like we say, I pledge to Nigeria, my country. Look at that verse again. Corresponding to that rescue through the flood, baptism, which is an expression of a believer's new life in Christ, now saves you, not by removing death from the body like water, but by an appeal to God for a good, clear conscience, demonstrating what you believe to be yours through what? Hallelujah. How many of you are baptized in water here? Fantastic. So you have that report card. Praise God, somebody. Jesus had it first. Then the next thing that happened to him, when he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Just like us too. Now, can we understand baptism? How to use it a little bit more? Let's go to Romans 6. I want to give it so that, boy, there's so much to say. See, there are two rituals of Christianity. There are two rituals. That's heaven's stamp ritual. Number one ritual, baptism. Number two ritual is communion. You know, in my village, they worship idols. And you see this, either the priests or those who are given over to the idols, they eat Nyojubo Ogun. They eat their food. They don't share it. I remember in my village, that when they carry this calabash through the town, you know, and then they do all these things, you know, they come, some of them, they come with corn, roasted corn. And they be throwing it, and they be throwing it, and they be throwing it. People be picking it up. See, that food is identified with that God. When you eat that food, you are participating in that God. That's why Paul said, you cannot sit down at the communion of Jesus and go and sit down at the table of those idols, because you are participating with them. Hallelujah. Are you ever getting something across to you? So there are two rituals as a Christian. We don't have many rituals as Christians. We have only two rituals: baptism, which is once and for all, communion, which is again and again. Now that ritual, baptism, is our entrance into the kingdom of God by pledging a good conscience. Lord, I believe you. I receive Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Jesus did for us at the beginning of his actions. That's what made him so powerful. You cannot be a powerful Christian not understanding baptism. Come, let me show you. Romans 6. Come and see. Now, do something with me. Let's do some calculations here. Okay, let's go. Romans 6, verse 1. Okay, take a look. What shall we say then? Now, Paul was talking about, after you have come to Christ, you have gone saved, what shall we say then? Shall we continue where? In sin, that grace may abound. He's talking about, see that word sin there? It's more than sins. There are sins we commit, but that's a sin that is actually the monster that is controlling this world. Pastor, what do you mean? Romans 5 verse 12. Take a look. Romans 5 verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, what entered the world? Sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, and death through what? And thus death spread to all men because all sin. Can you look up everybody here? Can I help you? See, this has not been explained to us. See that word sin there? Doesn't mean the sin you commit like smoking, drinking, cigarette. No. They said one man, sin entered the world. Remember, God told Cain that sin is at your door. It's crouching at your door. Sin is a monster. It's the picture. See, just like righteousness represents God, sin represents the devil. That's devil's, that's what you call it. That's devil's sting. The sting of the law is sin. See, that sin is the master key for the devil to enter. And he said, and after that, what came? And death through sin. That word death there does not just mean dying. Yeah, physical death is there. But this death is the nature of the devil. Like, life is God's nature. Am I making some sense? Like, when Christ says, I have come that you might have life, and have life more, what? He said, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's more than just physical killing. Because you don't need them to do that. Robots can do that. Human beings can do that. So, am I making some sense now? So, put that this now. Sin, that is the master key of the devil to control our lives. And then second, death is the nature. So, you can say this. You can say this. You can say this. Anywhere you put sin, you can put Satan, sin, sickness, poverty, everything. That's what opened the door for all the mess in the world today. Am I making some sense? Is that clear? When the first time Adam and his wife sinned, practiced sin, disobedience to God, sin as a monster entered the world. And as a monster, the moment it entered the world, it began to rule along with Satan's nature. Listen, let me say it like this very well. If you see Satan like a scorpion, sin is the sting at the end of it. If you cut off the sting of a scorpion, it can't do you anything anymore. It can bite you. Am I correct? Obviously, yes. Have you been bitten before? I've had snake bite before. You know? So, the sting, what the devil used to capture us is sin. Not the sin that we just commit, but the sin as a force, as a monster that will convince you, that will make you to go the wrong way. Now, Jesus came, are we here? Jesus came to deal with that sin, not just sins. Am I making some sense? See, real Christianity is difficult to get across to people. Pastor, King Kasabu has threatened me. Careful, many visa can travel. But, you know, it's more than that. Now, see that word sin? Now, after you become a Christian, sin is still here. Am I right? Evil is still here. So after you get saved, how do you live above that? Go back to Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in all that satanic ability, dominion, power, that grace may abound? This is what he's saying. If God is going to forgive us, help us, should we just be always in trouble? Then God will just come. Always in trouble, because God just come. No. Look at next verse. I love this one. Certainly not. Take a look. How shall we, look up, we who, what? Died to sin, live any longer in it. What does that mean? And that's the key to our freedom. Pastor, I'm not dead. But he said, you died to sin. You see, whatever you are dead to doesn't have control over you anymore. Are you hearing me, somebody here? For instance, those who are dead now, they are not here. They are not, we can't talk to them, we can't move to them. We cannot make any law to go and bind them in the graveyard. They are not here anymore. So he's saying that we died. Now we are going to die. We died. What's the meaning of that? Look at next verse. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Amazing. So he's saying that if you are going to beat the devil at his game, we have to go back to our baptism. This is one of the things that I just find difficult. You see, that's why ministers are trying to come up with all kinds of anointing, omega anointing, alpha anointing, in-between anointing, to just get people delivered. But no, it can't come that way. You go back to your bath, baptism. That's the key to your deliverance. For instance, if you are born an American, the laws of Nigeria don't have control over you. Am I correct? Of course, if you are in Nigeria, that's different. But listen, he said, it was time to say, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized. So baptism is our stronghold as Christians. So ask yourself, baptized into Christ. When I got baptized, when I came to Christ, remember, baptism means that I pledge, we can call it like sinner's prayer. The reason why sinner's prayer don't make sense today is because you say, you want Jesus in your life, vote for Jesus, vote for Jesus, vote for Jesus. I come out and just vote for Jesus, just vote for Jesus, just vote. Okay, I want to vote for Jesus. Is it APC or PDP or LP? Then you vote. No, when you are coming to Christ, it's just more than vote for Jesus. The first African man that got born again, the Bible, asked for baptism in water. I told you now, the eunuch. Let's go and read it. Boy, you never know what you're going to do for service. I have plans to do something else, but I have to go depend upon our heart. You need to understand this. Let's go. Act 8. Remember the story we read last week? Let's go back again. Sometimes you have to see it again and again and again before it penetrates. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. We are all alike. Take a look. From verse 30. 26. We'll come back here. Don't forget Romans 6. That's what we'll do today. We remind. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road, which goes down from where? This is what? Desert. Let's keep reading. So he arose, that's Philip, and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, who had charge of all her treasury, Minister of Finance, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now he came to worship as an outsider to the Jew. You can never become a Jew. Are you hearing me? You can never. You can come and worship and be a proselyte, but you can never become a Jew. That's an outsider. But Christianity is for everyone. Praise God, somebody. You can be a Christian from anywhere you come from. See, let's keep reading. And then he started reading. Then Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Next verse. So Philip ran to him and had him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Next verse. I'm really glad this African man is reading. Can you imagine? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Next verse. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Let's keep reading. In his humiliation, this verse he was reading in the Bible. Let's jump. Next verse. And then the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Next verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preach who? Jesus to him. Preach who? Jesus to him. I have a problem today. I'm 60 plus now. I have less than 40 years to go. At most, let's say 100. Hallelujah. And I'm going to focus more on the more important things. I can't be playing around anymore. If I want to leave any legacy, I want to leave an eternal spiritual legacy. And the best legacy is Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Are you hearing me? Jesus. See, he preached Jesus. We have preached everything else but Jesus. Because that's the answer. Let's keep reading. What is it? Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. Eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? That means the man had that Jesus at the beginning of his action, he got baptized in water, identified with us. Now, if you come to him, you can identify with him by declaring that he's your Lord, and then you can. Can you give me King James Version from this verse? KJV. And as they went on their way, they came onto certain water. Enoch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to baptize? Look at next verse. I love this. And Philip said to him, if thou believest with all your heart, you may. That's the condition. If you believe with all your heart. And he answered, let's say together, everybody. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Next verse. And the man stopped the chariot, and he commanded the chariot to sit and still, to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Just like Jesus began, he began his Christian life that way. Does that make sense? Now, baptism identifies you with Christ. Let me explain further. Listen to this. This is amazing. When you marry a man, baptism is like marriage. When you marry a man, you marry his assets and liabilities. Am I right? You marry his name. Whatever he is, you become part of it. Am I correct? You know, it's no longer like that now. It's no longer like that now. It's not the other way around. When you marry, the man identifies with the wife. Agbelo America, Agbelo UK. You know, some places in the U.S. now, the man is the wife. The wife is the husband. Let's not go further. Let me meddle a little bit some more. When we were in school, we think of who we are going to marry, and the guests will be saying they would like to marry us. Huh? They would like to look at us, and then we'll be thinking where we're going to go. They're going to ask us, what are you going to do with your life? Now it's reversed now. It's the guest that are thinking, who am I going to marry? And then the boss are saying, what are you going to do with your life? Where am I going to follow you to? Where can I go with you so I can watch football? Huh? Baptized him. Back to Romans chapter 6. Verse 3. We read verse 2. Verse 3 now. Oh, don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When Jesus died, when we got baptized into him, all that he happened to him when he died is now our inheritance. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Follow me. See, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That's what happened. When you went for that river baptism, baptism in water, whether it's in the tank or in the river.
Pastor, our church is no longer going to the river. We only have a tank here because the river is full of shit.
That's the truth. They came back to tell me. You know, they got baptized in water, and then they will see all the water flowing, human shit. Baptized there. That's not Christ's inheritance. Hallelujah. So we just have to get something over here to just clean things. So we have better. Let's not stop. That's church, you know. Let's go on. He said, look at this. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism today. So when we put you inside water, see, baptism, you can take your bath yourself, enter the bathtub and come out. But when we put inside water, we identify with everything we Christ has to do with. So when he died, you died with him. And are you following me? And then he said, and That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So you must start saying like this. You see, you should be celebrating your spiritual birthday more than your normal birthday. See, your real birthday is your born again day. When you were baptized in water, your whole life of Satan and his dominion is over. Am I making some sense? Hello? 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 And then we cannot walk in. See, this is a beginning. Hallelujah. It's a beginning. Then, are you here? Baptized in water has changed your position. You are now a child of God. You believe in Jesus. And you now identify with him on this planet. Pastor, I don't need baptism when I'm going to heaven. You don't need it, dear. For instance, I don't need to get married, go to court, sign paper. I already love my wife. But I have to have that for official sake. And for authority's sake, that we are bound together officially here on earth. And baptism in water and declaring that Jesus is Lord is actually saying, like marriage, wedding, that I am identifying with Christ publicly in this world. And Satan has, who is in this world, has no longer right over my life. So, that means that, imagine I'm married before and I'm divorced. And then I got this new man and he married me. That divorced ex has no more right over my life. Correct? Correct? Next verse. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, baptism, even so, certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his. So, what is baptism? It's a kind of a deposit to live your life from. Jesus Christ was baptized in water. He was identified with us. And he could now come and help us. Amen, somebody. Pastor, what about the Holy Spirit? What about the Holy Spirit? After Jesus was baptized in water, when he came out of the water, God opened heaven and poured out the Spirit on him to effect the changes necessary to live this new life. Does that make some sense? So, the Holy Spirit now is to help us, empower us to live this Christian life. Is that all right? To remind us, to empower us, to encourage us, to comfort us, so that we can. Because this life, this new life is a very vast life. And Christ is no longer physically here. But he has sent the Holy Spirit to help us go through this journey. Does that make some sense? Let's go back to Matthew 3. And then we put this up. Jesus' action, first action, was to head toward Jordan baptism. Praise God. Are we here? Let's move quickly. We have some few minutes left. Let's go. Now, moment he came out of the water, Matthew 3, verse 16, 17, let's look at it. When he had been baptized, he didn't stay inside the water. Jesus came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were what? Now, please, I'm submitting to you today that now heavens are open over you. After baptism, heaven is open. When you get saved and you open, you don't have to pray for open heaven again. You get that? When we say heaven is open to you, what do we mean? We don't mean the sky. We say the Father's house is open to you. Praise God, somebody. You are now part of the family of God. For instance, when a woman gets married and they brought her home and washed her feet, the house is open to her now, right? She's no longer a visitor. She's Yawole. And so, therefore, because the heaven is open to you, don't ever worry about making heaven again. It's irrelevant. But everybody is here. He's a doctor. The day he became a doctor, they did induction, MBBS, he's a doctor. He never said, one day I'll make the list. One day I'll be. He won't say that anymore. Close the list. So don't start, we'll make heaven at last. I wonder, those who say heaven at last, have they died? Could you hear me? No, that's you and the family. I don't know why I'm doing this today. You know, Mr. Kosoko is over there. Our daughter is over there. When service is over, she's going home. Can you imagine? Enola say, Pastor, pray for me that I will make our house tonight. Huh? Adelia is there. His wife is over there. And the wife come to me. But the service said, please pray with me. And I will get home safe tonight. I'll say, where's your husband? My husband came. I know something. Adelia, come. What's going on there? So, heaven, tell yourself, heaven is open to me. Pastor, heaven will open. Stop looking at it. Wala, yeah. You know, so that's the thing. Wala. Because I'm Nigerian. Tell about it, y'all. Don't focus on too much on that. I'm also living here too. I'm not living here. Dollar rate, I'm here too. And I'm telling you, heaven is open to you. Pastor, you are different. Anointing. Nobody. You know enough to make your life dangerous. Huh? No. Say that to me. Heaven is open to me. I believe in Jesus. I'm a child of God. Now, wait. When heaven is open, Holy Ghost came. Look at next verse. I love this. This is the answer. Look at next verse. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, what? This is my beloved son in the womb. How many of you are a child of God? Can I see your answer? You are God's beloved son. God's beloved daughter. Praise God. Hallelujah. Baptism affirms that. Praise God. I'm a child of God. Now, I have a news for you. Are we here? And I'm going to make it clear to you. You see, this encounter of Jesus was multifaceted. Just imagine. Are you here? Just imagine. The first step. Everybody look up here. I want to help you. The first step Jesus took to baptism, things started happening. He had encounters with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, with the devil himself. Let's go to that and start putting this together. See, Jesus, can you look up, everybody here? Can you look up? Listen to this. Jesus never said one word in all that story. Remember? He just came. John said, don't. He said, baptize. Baptize like that. He came out. In fact, Mark or Luke was saying he was praying. Just praying. And he came out of the water. Heaven opened over him. The Father spoke. He never said anything. Why? He submitted to everything. Now listen to me, everybody here. Stop arguing with God's work in your life. Shut up and collect it. You know, when you go to somebody's house and you have been hungry for days, and they say, please come and eat. You don't get up and be talking. Right? So, see, come sit down. Tell yourself, I'll come and sit down at the Father's table. Are you hearing me? You have ability of the Spirit. You have the love of the Father now. Amen, somebody. Say that to yourself. I have what? Ability of the Holy Spirit, and I have the love of the Father. Can I ask you a question? What has Christ done before the Father said, this is my beloved son? What has he done? Nothing. No miracle, no action, no preaching, no teaching. You know what I say? You see, Nigerian Christianity will tell you, you have to do something to make yourself somebody before God. Real Christianity, you become somebody who can now do something for God. Do we get the difference? You don't go and do accounting to become an accountant. You become an accountant first before you can do accounting. If you're doing accounting without being an accountant, you are a fake. So the Father said, you are his beloved son. And Jesus heard from heaven, beloved son. Now, I want to warn you. There are dark forces against you. Just like Jesus. The moment Jesus went to this water, be with me. And the Father spoke from heaven. Holy Ghost came. Matthew 4 verse 1. Then Jesus was led. Quickly, let's go. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Where? Can you look up here? Where was he coming from? Water. Plenty. Jordan River. Correct? Water speaks of life. What do I say? Water speaks of life. Now, I want to give you a warning. Just like Jesus, you must learn how to live water of the Spirit in the wilderness of life. You must learn what you collect from Jordan. You're going to face, see that word, wilderness. Who led him there? I'm asking the question. Who led him there? Now, let's go. See, Jesus' greatest benefit after baptism is the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus allowed himself to be led. See that word? Jesus was led. Jesus, that's passive. Jesus was led. Jesus allowed the Holy Spirit to become active in his life. Now please listen. Everybody listen to this. There are tons and tons of books on leadership. It's good for the office, but not good for your life. You know what I'm saying? You can lead people, but you cannot lead yourself properly. Somebody has to lead you. And as we Christians, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are what? Sons of God. As Christian, the authority of our direction does not come from ourselves. That's where some of you are missing it. And that's where you are struggling a lot. You determine your life. Your feelings determine you. Your attitude determines you. You don't think that, oh boy, listen to this. What can I do now to show this very well? I need some young men. Okay, at the back. Give me some young men. Come, both of you at the back. Thank you. Come. Right. Thank you. These are not young men. But they are young. Come. They are young men. They are strong. They have strength. Now, listen to this. Just stay here with me. Now, just imagine, it's bigger. This is my life. It's all of my affairs, everything that has to do with me. My family life, my financial life, my emotional life, my friendly life, everything. That's my life. This is me, all my affairs. Now, see, this life, this my affairs, I must direct it. I must lead it. And they have a problem. When things don't go well, they scatter because they have no sense of their own. Their sense of control is in me. My affairs are in my hand. My finance, my family, my life, they are in my hand. What I do with it, that's what happens to them. Am I right? Now, I myself, I'm a human being. I've never lived this life before. Doubly worse, my eyes cannot see tomorrow. So what should I need to do? I need to have a leader. Face, so that I can lead this life. Am I making some sense? My affairs, my home, my family, my finance, I just can't sit down with this and ask, how's my money? My money is stupid. It can't talk to me. Are we listening? So I need a leader. No, I don't need a dictator. See, I said, I need a leader. Who is a dictator? Let me show you a dictator. Can you just balance yourself? Don't worry, I won't hurt you. Can you move back? Move very, very well back. Here is a dictator. He will not get before me to show me what to do. He just be pushing me around. Just push me like that. See, that's a dictator. He just, are you ready? Be strong. You see, that's what evil spirit does. They want to push us around. Should you not eat this or not eat that? Confuse you all the time. And human beings will join with them to promote social media. This is what is trending. This is what's doing. So they keep pushing me around. But I need a leader. Who? can talk with me, I can go ahead of me. And I can, if anything, I can stop and he can turn back to me and we can discuss and we can talk and we can go back. Now, can I surprise you? Jesus was the Son of God. He had all knowledge, all power, all everything. But when he came to this life here, he never led himself. Now, can you imagine? He came from heaven. His power is powerful. He's pure. He's blameless. Now, you are stupid. Sorry for calling you that one. Myself too. We are stupid, Satan. We don't know anything. We are born here empty. We struggle with our life. We don't know what dollar rate will be tomorrow. We don't know how life will go. Jesus knew everything. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And he submitted himself to be led by the Spirit. How dear me, with all my stupidity and my idiosyncrasies, which means my idiocy and craziness, with all that, and tell the Holy Spirit, can you move out of the way? I want to be the boss. And I measure everything by money. And the first one to revolt is my wife. Because when I say love me, how much? You say, so I need someone. Now Jesus, please listen. In the hierarchy of Trinity, is the Father, the Son, and who? The Spirit. But when Jesus came here and became a human being, he handed over that hierarchy, second person of Trinity, and he got behind the third person of Trinity to be led. Why? Because there's only one power that can control all the mess here is the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that. That's why he never did anything before he was 30. He was powerful. He was blameless. Child of God. He was hiding in Nazareth. In Cana of Galilee. Nazareth. Just staying there. Minding his business. Just a carpenter. Just living his life. We never had between the 12th, age of 12 and 30. 18 years was blank. Why? Just hiding himself. Just growing. Growing to be mature enough to be led. You don't mature to become independent. Maturity is not independence. It's interdependence. Nigeria says we have independence. After we got hungry, we started doing interdependence. ECOWAS, OAU, UNO. So now, come again. Now, here is my life. Here is my home. Here is my future. Here is my finance. Here is my career. What do I do? So I go to US, go to America. I have this leader. Then Jesus was led up. I like that word. You always leave yourself down. You always leave yourself down. I said, now I know what you are thinking. Pastor, this leading of the Holy Spirit, could you hear me? You mean, I just say Holy Spirit, Ewa, Holy Spirit. Kill and sober in this. Somebody can be Kaduna. Then you do like this. Kaduna. No. He start leading us. We see that as we go on. But I want to submit to you today, number one, that Jesus, after the Father said, my beloved Son, then Jesus was led. So everything he was doing, there was a kind of consultation with the Spirit. Now, write this one down. The Holy Spirit is the best life consultant. Thank you. You can go to your seat. Thank you very much. The Holy Spirit is the best life consultant. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful. You know, his name was Jesus. After he was anointed, he was called Christ. That word Christ does not mean surname. It means anointed one. That means now, he's now mixed with the Holy Spirit. No longer by himself anymore. And you are called Christian. Am I right? That means you are also in this Holy Spirit life. Is that all right? Do we get that? Don't worry. We'll explain it more later. Now, listen to this. I love this. It's a random. Now, Spirit, everything in this book is behind it. Am I making some sense? Pastor, prove that. 2 Peter 1. Let's go to verse 20. Maybe from there, let's see what it says. Knowing this first. Everybody look up here. Look at it. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any what? Private interpretation. Why? Look at next verse. For prophecy never came by the will of man. But, let me hear your voice now. But only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now look up here. Everything written here, from Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit moved them to put the right word, right context, right language there. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Are you listening? Now, the Holy Spirit is behind this book, is inside this book, is the author of it. He uses men to write it. Now, the Holy Spirit knows this book in and out, is the author of it, and he knows the appropriate way to live this book. You got that? So, when Jesus came here, he knew that if he is going to move in this life, that book must help him. But that book cannot help him without the author of the book. Is that clear? So Jesus allowed himself to be led. Now tell yourself now, I allow myself to be led. I put myself under the control of the Spirit. Can you lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, I allow you. I give you right to lead me. I give you right to guide me. Thank you. All right. Let's round up. Matthew 4 verse 1. Let's round up. Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Somebody said, Pastor, what will happen next? I don't want to be led by the Spirit of God to the devil's backyard. You know the good news or the bad news? You're already in the backyard. You're already in the backyard. Hello? But I love this. Let me explain this verse like it's explained by David and Goliath. Who set up David to beat Goliath? Don't see it like this. The Holy Spirit will lead me into the devil's backyard so that my life can be dealt with. When he finishes with my life, I will trust God to help me out too. No, he's trying to create victory. Now, please look up here. Can I help you? Every trial, every temptation that you will meet, every struggle that you will meet, the Holy Spirit has led you there because he knows you have the victory. Are you hearing what I just said? Any fight, any trouble, any trial that will make you to not do well, the Holy Spirit will see to it that doesn't confront you. Hear what I just said? Pastor, let me tell you the truth. Can I tell you the truth? It's because you are not led. You are led by yourself. You are seeing what you read jumbo. Let me give an example. Years ago, let me round off with this one. Years ago, I just got a car. Just got a car. My wife and I. And I wanted to go somewhere to go and see my friend to show him the car. So I started praying. I just felt something's wrong. I can't tell it. Before I said, I just told you I wanted to go and see my friend. I didn't know that until later. I just prayed. I just get to my room. I just feel sad. Never knew my life was in danger. I just prayed, but thank God I was praying. I just prayed. I mean, for days. So one afternoon, I told my wife, "Let's go with our little girl to Saple," and it was getting late. We left on here at 4 o'clock, if you remember. Huh? But you know, pray it. You know, how many of you, I read to you about Pastor Alex. I didn't tell you the whole story. Pastor Alex said this at the beginning. The robbers that came to attack him, they came to meet him in church to keep an appointment with him. They said to him, I want to see you by 4 o'clock. He said, will you be a pastor? He said, yes. He gave the guy the appointment, 4 o'clock, at leaders' meeting. He said, when he got home, he finished service. He just felt, he just was so strong. Don't go. Don't just. So he started thinking, maybe because I was too tired. Don't go. Then he got up and so he took his phone, wanted to call leaders. He said, let me text them. While he was texting, he now stopped. He said, but I gave God that appointment. The Bible says if you swear, if you give a word, you should stand by it, by oath. He's quoting scriptures, but the Holy Spirit says something else. Simple Bible. And he said, he just knew. He just got up. So just follow that up. I can tell, I'm closing. Another one, he had mighty faith. This guy had mighty faith. His wife nearly died 3 times in an accident of a car. Accident. Nearly died. But because he got faith, I mean, the wife was dead on the floor. They said, don't do it. She just by faith got her up, she walked off and left. 3 times. But that man later said to that friend, he said, you know what? Before that accident, I knew we must not move. I just knew we should just wait. But I said, I don't have time. I can wait. I'm going. The son of that friend, now was telling us about his own dad. He said, his own dad will just wait on the Lord and pray. He said, one day, they're about to travel on a road. His father said, I just felt, let's just stay. Why? Let's just pray. You start praying. And he said, guess what? They said about 10, 15 minutes and set up on the road. When they got down the road, they saw about 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes before they left, there was this accident that cars were piling up on cars. Wiped out! He said, the boy said, it marked my thinking. I watched my dad walking led by the Spirit. You know what? We have no reason to be broke as Christians. Even when sickness comes, we know what to do with them. We can attack them. We know which doctor to call. One man like that, somewhere, he was just in the night, he just woken up. Call your wife now and call a doctor. He just pick up the phone and he called his wife. Was not calling. He just said, call the doctor. I don't know what's wrong. Doctor said, if it had been 10 minutes after that, it's gone. Now, I am not saying all this to scare you. Holy Ghost, my life is in danger. But what I'm saying is that permit yourself to be led. Is that all right? Permit yourself to be led. Don't spend money anyhow. Don't talk anyhow. Don't act on every impulse. Can I close? The picture of the Holy Spirit is a dove. Have you ever seen a dove around your house? Or any of this pigeon? They quickly fly off, am I right? They quickly withdraw. They don't press. They just cool. That's why sometimes we don't sense the Spirit, because we want someone to say, oh yeah, get up, go. See, all those spirits that pushing you, it's not the Holy Ghost. Real Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. So tell yourself, I'll be led by the Spirit. One more time, I'll be led by the Spirit. Can we lift our hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I surrender afresh to you to lead and to guide my life. Lord, I want to make a profit out of this life. Ah, that's it. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Say, Lord, I want to profit with my life. I want to profit the kingdom of God, profit humanity, profit my family. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. I want to profit humanity. I want to profit the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. When we are praying, I just saw this verse, and it will help you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, as we leave. We're going to take that verse and think about it in our life. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many of us? To each one. For what? Now tell yourself, I have a full intention to be profitable with my life. I have a full intention. I determine to live a profitable life. My life will not be a losing venture. My life will be a profit to God, to man, to myself, my family, and my loved ones in the name of Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, manifest yourself for my profit. Just like you led Jesus, lead me and guide me. Not my own will, but your will be done. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let's give our offering. Praise God. Ready? Let's give our offering and go home. It's been so beautiful today. You know, I didn't even get to what I want to talk about today. Jesus had change of location. I told you how he changed the location. What did he do next? And how did he go about his life? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Money cannot lead us because it has no sense. It can only be spent. Hallelujah. But God, by the Spirit of God, will lead us. As we give our offering, just say this to the Lord. Lord, lead me to the better places. Lead me to better places, better things. So he has better things in store for us. The better parts of my life. Lead me there. Thank you for the goodness I've enjoyed, but take me to greater height. Help me to ascend to higher places. Thank you. Higher places, better places. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's give our offering. Praise God. We sing this song. We are together again. Just praising the Lord. We are together again. In one accord. Something good. Something better. You know why? Because we are together again with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Together again with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give. My. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Get up on your feet if you finish giving. Hallelujah. Get up on your feet. Tell yourself, I'm a man, I'm a woman that has been led by the Spirit. Say that with me. I'm a child of God. Heaven is open to me. Heaven is not closed. I can come to my Father at any time. I have the blessing of heaven. I'm under an open heaven. I have the Holy Spirit. I've identified with Jesus. I was baptized into his life and into his death. Therefore, I'm a well-beloved child of God. And in this world of wilderness, the Holy Spirit is leading me to confront and to stop the enemy in my life. It's a new day in Christ Jesus. It's a greater day in Christ Jesus. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. In this dark world, my light is shining brighter. In Jesus' name. Let's share the grace together.